Yo, what's happening, world? This is O from TBT Podcast. Yep, that's the second time in a row that you're hearing me on the intro. Yo, we got a special episode for y'all today, and I know we say that a lot, but this one's ready to blow your mind. Yo, can we drop one of Clue's bombs on this bitch? Oh, no, we ain't got that feature. Alright. Well, moving forward, I want to give a quick shout out to Sid the Kid and Tony. These are our first guests on the episode. We're going to have crazy point of views from male perspective, female perspective. Oops, I meant women's perspective. Get that correct. Yo, we're going to be talking about relationships from generation to generation. We're going to be talking about interracial dating. But I don't want to spoil this for y'all, so I want y'all to put your earbuds in. I want you to turn the dial all the way up and get ready for this episode. One love. Are we recording? All right, we live. Yo, first and foremost, I want to put this on record that I actually bit my tongue as hard as I could till it bled because I told myself I wouldn't be using any new slang into 2016, and in the intro for Culture Vulture 101, I used the word lit.
Oh,
it's lit.
No, that's hard. That's hard not
and
to.
And I told myself I wouldn't do that.
It's hard to not be lit.
Right.
No, listen, I get
you when you're lit.
That. Yeah.
I get that. But I did that, and you know what? That's that. That's behind us. I won't say anything new. I won't be using any of the new terms or trendy words until my tongue heals. So we'll let that be. we'll let that be. But just jumping into this, we got a special episode for y'all today, and we say that a lot, but this is a real special episode because we have our first, not only our first guest, but our first guests. So before we get into that, though, we never really preface why we get into our conversations or why we go into our topics. We kind of just go through the subject matter as is. And just to give you guys a little recap, and if you haven't listened to any of our episodes, make sure you start at episode one. But when I told the world that I was going into 2016 single, and that's where we are today. And I've actually been on more first dates in 2016 than Shaq's missed free throws. So with that being said, there's a lot of things that are going on. I've learned a lot through these first dates, and I'm really trying to understand what is good with our generation when it comes to relationships and when it comes to dating. To be honest, I don't have a diary. This is my personal ledger. You know, I don't have a journal. So I wanted to make sure that we had guests that had different aspects or different ideas of relationships. And we have our two fine guests today. And thank you for showing up and thank you for being here. I'm going to let y'all enter the world on your own. But go ahead, Tony. Or go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Tony Toussaint. I'm just Tony.
Just Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Tony.
There we go.
Stop.
All right. So Tony's one of our guests today, and we also have, go ahead, I don't want to take any limelight. Go ahead.
My name is Sid Marie. Everybody calls me Sid. I'm a Sag representing.
Hey, Sag in the building.
Sid the Kid.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that's me.
Word. And these are diehard fans, by the way. No, I'm joking.
Tony's more than a fan. She's a part of what we do here.
Nah,
you know,
yeah,
what I'm saying? And Sid's extended family.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So this is love in the building right
you.
Now.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Y'all, you know, jumping on to this podcast episode. So just to tie into, you know, why I brought y'all in, that's really the question that I have. And I think having, you know, a different point of view. You guys are used to listening to K Boogie and Good Math and myself with, you know, a different perspective, but having a female's perspective in a different type of way of life as well. I think
a woman's perspective.
I think having you guys on here is going to be an added value to the conversation that we're about to get into. So I'll throw this up in the air with y'all now. And by the way, it's really quiet in here. Y'all are good to talk. K Boogie, good math. Well, you still here, right?
You're facilitating this. Right, yeah, man, I'm waiting for you to throw it at me.
I got you. So,
I'm here, man.
So I'm gonna throw the ball in the air and ask just generic question. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is good with our generation when it comes to relationships?
We're screwed up.
Just like that.
Screwed up.
Oh, who's we? Who's the we speaking about?
Both you females too. And men are screwed up.
You too. Okay. We all are. Everybody in this circle right now is a little fucked up.
I'm fucked up. I mean, got personal shit, but at the same time, I feel like people these days, relationships are way different now because things are getting pushed onto digital aspects. Yeah, social media. Exactly. Like that has a big part of it. We had a whole episode where we talked about social media, and one of the aspects it's affected was relationships. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, people don't have the same connection they do to people. And when you don't feel that intimacy, like, you don't treat people the same. Mm-hmm. And I think that just affects or ripples down all types of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think when you say the first word that, like, really struck me was connection or lack of connection. And like the way that the media sells, you know, this digital age is that we're all more connected, right? Because you can connect to someone you don't know really far away. But, and connect, I don't know, we might have to use a different word for that. But I think there's a lack of connection and there's a lack of like, of depth. You know, like things happen really, really fast. So if you can look at someone's picture, if you can see what they're into, and of course, people only take pictures of themselves when they're having fun, when they got a nice outfit on, when they got their fresh haircut.
And they got a good filter.
Yeah, you know, and filters are important, you know, especially for people like, I'll speak for myself, people like me who I have trouble sometimes filtering myself, like, you know, like, especially. And this is going a little off topic into like professionalism and shit, but like even like when I'm at work, like I'm very comfortable at work. The teens that I work with, my coworkers, like even my boss for a while, just very, very comfortable. And the way I deal with some of the issues that come up between the teens, it's very personal. So you're supposed to be like this like really objective, like wiser, older person, but like sometimes you're working with these teenagers and they trigger certain things in you. You know what I mean? And then it's like, and so, I don't know, when we're talking about relationships, and when you say relationships, you didn't specify. So to me, I'm talking about all kind of relationships, like mm-hmm. friendships, your siblings, like your parents, like any, we can talk about just intimate relationships, but like relationships in general, I think, especially, like I connect more with my mom, and I came out to my mom, I'm queer, came out to my mom through text message. You know, like we've had most of our intense conversations through text message.
Well, at least you could document it.
Say, right. You know, but like it says a lot about also about even the connection between me and my mom. So, yeah, like honestly, this digital age has made it easier for me and my mom to see each other because she has a Facebook. She posts things. She posts her ideas and stuff and she can see my ideas and my family sees more of what I'm thinking. But even when we're all together, it's all love, you know, but at the same time, once you know, like when someone posts a certain thing and you're like, really? That's what. So then you see them like, and you know it's Thanksgiving and shit. It's like, yeah, but you're all
the same.
Conservative and shit. Like I don't know. Not and you know, true. You know, respect to everybody, but it's like
when your family member posts like All Lives Matter or some shit. Like, damn, I can't. Right. I can't even shake your hand the same.
Right. Like, it's like, so what are you saying though? Are you gonna say that if they if they arrest me, Loki? Yeah. You're just gonna like, what does that mean?
I think O was trying to touch more on intimate relationships because you mentioned all your dates you went on. I'm assuming you're not going on a date with your mother.
Nah. Well, listen, I do take my mother out at least once a month just to let her know.
Respect, as you should.
Right. Yeah. Throw that out there.
Yeah, I have to.
But I mean, it ain't your first date, you know what I'm saying?
Nah, right.
You dated her for a while already.
No, but you're right. So let me put that in that direction. So we're talking about intimate relationships, right? And in a digital world where we're swiping left and right, I feel like we're being a little bit more, we're lazier now, right? Now we're piling on this list of people that we felt like we matched up with, and we're, it's like, here's an analogy that I heard. You go to the grocery store and you're looking for jam or peanut butter, whatever the fuck the case may be, and you have 24 choices. you're going to pick a jam or peanut butter that you think you like, but when you go home, you might start thinking about the other ones that you could have had. So you'll never be happy with what you have because you have this option of what you could have had.
I mean,
and I think that's
be,
what's wrong.
We're talking about swiping left and right, and at the end of the day, like, that's even a problem. So you ain't talking about taking away intimacy between any relationship. It doesn't matter what it may be. So everyone can put this, like Sid said, everyone can put this picture up that they're like, they're the best, right? They put the best of themselves out there on the internet, and then you meet that person on the internet, you meet them in person, and it's like, well, nah, not really.
Right.
Yeah, you got some shit
like,
going on.
Right. That's, go out and really meet people. Don't get fucking fooled by yourself, my nigga. Like, I don't get why people are angry about that. Like, I don't think there's a problem with people. It's the way people are perceiving other people. Like, figure it out.
But like,
yourself.
And people are worried about how they're gonna be perceived,
right,
too, which is kind of sounds like where it kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm just reading it from you on some other shit, but it kind of sounds like that's what you're worried about, too, you know? Like, if you're thinking, because if you're thinking about, yeah, about how this person or this person you chose is going to perceive you after they get to know you more, you know? Like, are they thinking about the other person they should have chose instead of you? Because if that's what you're thinking about them, you know what I mean? If that's what you're thinking about them, I just imagine it has to come internally from something that you think about yourself.
No, I honestly think that when it comes to, like, a platform like that, you're not looking for that one person that you match with. You're really just going through options. To be honest, I'm fine where I am. I'm okay being single. Like, that's how I came into 2016. I'm going on dates to really learn about people. I like learning. I like, you know, interacting. I like females. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is.
Women.
You're going to be checked every time.
I have no problem with that.
Word.
So when it comes to that, the reason why I put the analogy out there is just to give you an understanding of how I feel the majority is really playing the game, because I go on these dates and that's how I see it. I have no problem. Some of the times when I go on these dates, I split off because I wasn't feeling the person. They split off because they weren't feeling me. Sometimes it was amicable. That's fine. But I put that jam or peanut butter analogy out there because that's honestly, that's how stupid it is. That's how it really is when it comes to picking someone off of that platform.
Mm-hmm. It's like fickle that way.
Yeah, it's diluted.
Yeah,
you know, and so I'm thinking about, not only do we look for more options, I feel that also people are pushing out relationships to focus on self more now than they did before.
Hmm.
But I mean, that's not a bad thing in individualism. Like, you have to be able to know yourself in order to really honestly be able to give yourself, you know what I mean, humble yourself for another person, because you can't fucking sit and pretend like you don't got these habits. I couldn't be like, yo, I don't smoke, I don't drink on mad night. Like, nah, nigga, like,
I gotta drink and smoke all the time.
I'm like, shit. Yeah. So, like, you know, you can work with it or you can't.
So, with that being said, what do you guys feel are successful traits based off of your experience that would make it for a healthy relationship? As an individual, or even, what do you think are the qualities that you need off of experience?
I feel like it starts internally. I feel like you gotta be comfortable and really love yourself before you can, like, know how to experience love with somebody else or know how to show love to someone. Because if you don't have a healthy relationship with who you are, there's no way that you can have a healthy relationship with somebody else, because now you gotta deal with someone else's issues on top of your own. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a big part of the thing. Like, it's so easy to, like you said, to have these quick connections because of the internet. Like, people think that, oh, well, I can just go out and get somebody whenever I want to. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not comfortable with who you are as a person and you're not in a good space mentally or, you know, anything like that, like, you're not gonna be a part of a healthy relationship
long term, for sure. Mm-hmm. Long term, it's not gonna work.
Mm.
For me, I think it's like holding off sex in order to, like, really figure out who the person is, because you get it, like, I don't know, I've had relationships where, like, sex will happen very quickly and then that's it. So, like, now I'm getting to the point, like, holding off on sex and figuring out exactly if this is someone I actually want to make that next step with.
Mm-hmm. So how important do you feel that is, though?
It's super important.
I think it's super important, too.
It's super important.
I'm not completely opposed
to the... Of course
you... No.
That's okay.
Don't apologize.
But
I'm not completely opposed to waiting, like, any amount of time that you'd have to wait. But once, like, we get to the point where we do connect physically, like I need that. Like, So, like... I could wait. I could get to know someone, but, like, you... What? Like, I need it. I can't just...
Much is mine, right?
No, it's not ownership.
Not only, but, like, saying, like, it's ours. You know what I'm saying? Like, is it expendable?
No, I feel like, yeah, you guys are coming from two different angles.
Definitely
here.
Completely different opinions right now.
That's perfect.
I could wait. I have no problem waiting. And that's honest. I have no problem waiting. Once we get to being physical, I would want to be physical all the time. I want to express myself that way all the time.
And some people do express themselves that way more than any other way. And I don't think that there's anything, and you can correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but when, like, I feel like certain people need sex and for their health. Like, I'm a huge astrology person, so if you have any type of water in your chart, in your any major parts of your chart, so either in your moon, which rules your emotions, in your Mercury, which rules your mind, in your sun, which is your, like, you're a Cancer, you're a water sign through and through, like, or for me, like, in my ascendant sign, in my rising sign, I'm a Scorpio. So it's like certain signs just do it, they're healthier when they get sex, when they need it. And it's true, and it's true. So I feel like I understand what you're saying, where it's like, I need that. So if you're a person who doesn't need it, that's something we need to know up front. If you don't really care or don't need sex very often, but I'm a person who does need it very often and we're choosing to do this together, then that's something we need to know and talk about, because then I'm not going to get what I need and you're going to be getting what you need.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or you might not find it in that person. You might find it somewhere else.
Take away from what Tony said, like, I do appreciate getting to know someone on a mental level, because also, if I can't hold a conversation with you, we're not going to bond to a point where it's even going to, like, feel good when we're having
sex. And the sex is better when you connect.
If you do
bond,
right. Mm-hmm. So, that's cool. Waiting's cool.
Nah, it is.
So do you feel like that's an essential part of, like, having a healthy relationship? Is like waiting. Is like is there a certain amount of time?
It's not really
like
waiting.
Is it like a, you know, a 3 month or a 10 date or whatever, you know what I mean?
Don't put time on it. Don't put time on it.
It's just whenever you're comfortable.
It's more of like building that communication instead of just jumping to something.
Being genuine.
Just being physical. Because I feel like I've lacked on building that communication aspect with someone, and I just jump straight into the physical, and that's what I'm trying to.
Tony said not to put the time on it, because it's kind of like if you have, I'm pretty sure everyone in here has kissed someone for the first time. It's like you just like know you just know when you're supposed to kiss the person. You know when you're both into it. Like it's not like 3 minutes, 3 months. Like you don't count to 10. You just go for it, and like you know whether or not it's there. So that connection, if two people are ready to have sex, their bodies are already screaming at each other, so they're gonna fucking know whether or not they're ready.
But by saying wait, that means you're ignoring that signal until it's time. You feel like the time is right.
No, that means you're waiting for that signal to even happen.
Well, that signal could happen when y'all first meet.
Yeah, that could.
You know what I'm saying? But if you don't want to do it when you first meet, you're saying you got to wait, which is respectable. So what is the time frame? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I would at least wait a month for continuous communication and then based
so you
want off to
really,
of that.
Yeah.
Based off the communication.
At the same time, don't build this thing up to like on a pedestal, like, oh, this is the pinnacle, we're about to have sex, and then you're in it and you're just like, what?
Day 26.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
He's like, I waited all that. But I guess you guys kind of hit on top of the following question is pretty much, what do you think are main causes of failed relationships?
Lack of communication.
Yeah.
Huge lack of communication.
I think a lack of knowledge of self, because it's like we say shit like, oh, you gotta love yourself before you get with somebody, and you think loving yourself is just being super confident or like not taking responsibility for the fucked up parts of your personality. Like, that's not necessarily loving yourself. Knowing yourself is like, it's just like the moon. Like, there's a light side of the moon, there's a dark side of the moon. But that's the moon, though. That's the whole fucking thing, you know? So it's like every person has a light side and a dark side of their moon. And loving yourself is knowing your shadow self and accepting it. Not being proud, necessarily. Not putting it in other people's face and saying, this is my shadow self, and you gotta accept it, and that's it. It's knowing it in depth. Knowing what you're like under immense pressure, knowing what you're like under immense sadness, like in your deepest, darkest, most depressive times of your life. How are you? What are you like truly? You know, knowing that, and then loving yourself still. That's loving yourself.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know their shadow self, but they are so ashamed of it. They're embarrassed. Of course you hide it. And that's why the internet is like, it fools people. That's why catfishing is possible, because it's like, people put their best selves out. They put graduation pictures. When they buy their new car, when they sign a lease, they say it. You know what I'm saying? When they get a new job, when they got a raise, when they got a new watch on, when they change their profile pic. People are even very particular about the timing of when they change their profile pic, because it says something about you, you know? So people are like constantly putting their best selves out. And that's usually, you get to know somebody's best self after a long period of time. Like, you start to see both. You said, like, yeah, he has this, these little qualities that get on my nerves. But, you know, after like 6 months of dating, I saw just how sensitive he really is. Mm-hmm. And how the, like, all these good things that take a while to learn, people are just like, look, this is me, this is me, look at how dope I am, pick me, you know.
But then again, with that said, right, do you really want everybody to know, like, the intimate parts of your dark self?
But this is the thing. Like, for a person who's talking about not necessarily wanting to wait too long, being naked with someone is a very vulnerable thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this person...
Someone, not to present...
No, right. But, like, say you're ready to have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
That's a very vulnerable thing. You're butt-ass naked. Like, they could do... Anything could... Think about it, though. Anything could happen. They could do anything. They could... You know what I'm saying? But they could snap up... Like, so many things could happen while you're naked with somebody. You're giving your body to someone else. That's very vulnerable. But if you're not... If you're ready to be that kind of vulnerable with your body, but you're not willing to be that kind of vulnerable with your emotions, like... What are you hiding? You know what I'm saying?
That disconnection.
Yeah.
You talking about
itself.
Yeah.
And that's why I think vulnerability is important. I think something that lacks, I know something that I had to learn, like, in depth, was like real vulnerability. And not the vulnerability that wins you brownie points. Not the kind that, oh, let me just tell her this so she can see that I'm sensitive, or let me just, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the shit that you're absolutely afraid of people knowing and sharing that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And not being opposed to sharing that because you're worried about what they're going to say about you after. That shouldn't matter if you've already accepted your shadow. So there's nothing no one can say about your shadow self that you don't already recognize, you know? But people don't get there. So they say, like, they make it seem like, yeah, you got to love yourself. But do you really, though? Do you really? Because you wouldn't be hiding any part of yourself if you did, you know? And not that you gotta put it on display, yeah, but I'm just saying, when it comes out, you wouldn't be
ashamed.
Worried, yeah, right. Ashamed. And shame is heavy.
I have a quote for y'all. It's by Robert Brault, and it goes, having perfected our disguise, we spend our lives searching for someone we don't fool. Mm. How do y'all feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that just really, not to say Sid needed any validation, but that just, like, confirms it, whatever it may be. And I think that is the failure, really, just two people trying to deceive each other into happiness, and people end up out of head. It doesn't work. And at the end of the day, it's like, some parts of me you gotta accept and some you don't. That's up to you, but this is what it is.
Right. At the end of the day, right now in this moment, this is who I am.
Right.
You're either with me or you're not, you know?
Except my dark passenger, Dexter.
Yeah.
I love that show. Yo, bro, that's a great show.
Yeah. It kind of got dry past the season 5.
But I watched the whole shit. I thought that
great series overall. But, I mean, so with that, but there's some people who grow with a person and they start to understand themselves through the experiences with somebody. So
call that a soulmate.
Exactly. So when you're into something like that, like, do you feel like in the long run, is that a harder route to have what O is calling a successful relationship, or is that the way that you prefer to go through it? Like, is it ideal to grow with somebody or to grow internally yourself first and then
why would you not still grow with someone even if you grew internally? Both. You would still grow.
It's both.
Well, because we're talking about knowledge yourself and understanding who you are first.
Understanding who you are is the knowledge to understand that you're never really going to completely understand or control what is going on. So when you're with someone else, you're going to see that fact and you come to that acceptance, because that's another powerful individual. That's another being. Mm-hmm. So you don't stop learning just because you know about yourself.
Mm. Of course. Yeah.
Mm. You're always.
But I feel like you might be touching on something, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but... Like, because I've had to ask the same question, like, is it better if I separate and grow by myself, or is it destined that we grow together. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's a straight answer for anybody. I think as a person, if you really look in the mirror, like, and a mirror, I think a mirror is the other person. If you really see yourself for who you are and what you need, and you don't pretend like you don't need so much, because that's a cultural thing. Like, coming from ancestors of slaves who had to overcome, like, the worst shit ever every fucking day, right? Those are things that become embedded in your DNA. So then generations and generations and generations later, you have women, I'll speak for myself, my mother, who was depressed most of my life. Most of my life, that's what I know about her. I don't know too much about why or where she's, what things are in her that, like, are, you know what I mean, that she can't let go of. I don't know what they are, but I know that my mom's been hurt, you know what I'm saying, and she's been depressed for a lot in her life, but she's also the person in my family, and I got a really big family, and we're really tight, that a lot of people come to for answers, for help, for money, for living, for, like, shelter, you know what I'm saying? So this is a person who's, in my experience, have been in a lot of pain all her life, but she's also the person that provides for everybody else. So this is a person who projects, I'm okay, I don't need it, I don't need anybody's help, which is a lie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like,
so there's pride in that?
So it's like, you have to look at yourself and decide, do I grow better on my own, or is it more comfortable to grow on my own because nobody sees my shit? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you're supposed to stay because you're so uncomfortable with this person seeing your shadow self that you're like, oh, I need to separate and grow on my own. No, that's a cop-out. That's a cop-out, because 100%. This person...
what type of person you are, though.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's what you were kind of talking about. Yeah. Like, is it... individually, do you grow better on your own, or are you supposed to grow with the person? And I think if the other person is mirroring the same desire of, like, wanting to be together and grow at the same time, then the answer is there. But if the person is kind of, like, done and wants to get the fuck out, but she or he is too afraid of exposing their shadow self, of exposing the fact that they want to be alone, of exposing the fact that they don't want to be with you no more, they don't want to look like the bad guy. You know what I'm saying?
And that's so much back to the perception thing, right? Because that's really where it comes from. Like, some people will stay in something just because they don't want to be the one to say, well, I left. Because then...
you're not man enough, or you're not woman enough.
Man or woman, yeah.
To just say, hey, I don't want to be a part of this, then just leave. Like, I've seen so many people do that, and at the end of the day, you end up hurting yourself.
But then it's like, okay, so are you the bad... are you the quote-unquote bad guy for that?
Why does it matter?
Or are you... I mean,
shouldn't you do what's more happy for you? Like, why does it matter who's the bad guy? If it's not working out, it's not working out.
It matters to this person, but should you grow through with somebody like we were just talking
is
about?
Is it not working out because you don't want it to work out, or is it not working out because you just feel like it
there's not enough healing happening?
Right. Yeah, because it's once you're in the relationship, you're in the relationship. So now your problem is our problem, mm-hmm. right? Your issue, your shadow. It's ours. Mm-hmm. So are we going to deal with this together or not? Mm-hmm. You know? So I feel like that gets lost sometimes, you know?
That's a good breakdown of it, though, because I think some of the most beautiful things are ever so simplistic, and that it's like, your dark side is our dark side now, and my dark side is our dark side now. Are we going to work through this shit collectively, or we're just going to say, fuck it, and move on with life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's like, I think that's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with all that, I mean, y'all definitely put some legs on that question. But as a whole, now we went from an individual point. Do you think our generation as a whole values the same things, or the values in what we're attracted to? Do you think it's the same now as it was before from previous generations?
No, I think our society is too fed up with the idea of how it looks on social media. So they only care about how it looks on social media. So I think that's, like, compared to the previous generation who actually wanted to connect with each other, actually had that communication, I think that's the difference.
Well, I feel like some generations got together for some type of stability, for, like, a family type thing.
There was a certain need.
Yeah, it was a need that mm-hmm. you're trying to fill. Like, nowadays, it is about, like, look what I got. This is my girl. Mind you, I've never in my life put a status of relationships on Facebook. I don't like that shit, because I hate when you break up And it's like, you break up and you got mad people liking it. You're like, what the fuck? You're, right. You're the same people liking it when we're
like
together.
People sliding up in your DMs and right. shit. Like,
yeah, exactly. But
I think there's that
sort of a trend where, because it's like half and half. Some people are kind of trying to go back to like the family route of the 50s or whatever it may be, and some people are still just living life. You know what I mean? Mm. But as opposed to at least the 80s, with like most people I know, like, their pops just wasn't around. Mm-hmm. Most people, I would say. And it's just, like, I don't... That's not the case nowadays. You know what I mean? People are more prevalent, and they're making it... You see the effects of it when someone wasn't there for you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, I think in trends of relationships, there's kind of a go-between. I'm not going to talk too much about the social media stuff, because I try to participate in that as least as possible. But, I mean, y'all pretty much know my opinion about people flashing nonsense.
I find the missing father is part of the Reaganomics era and part of Bush as well.
We can jump right into that.
Yeah.
Because we talk about that any day.
But that's
the fact of the matter is, when it comes to relationship, like, so you're talking about values, right?
Yeah.
So, to bring it back to that, I feel like values have changed, but it's not just social media. Like it's mm-hmm. it's to do with the times. Like
mm-hmm.
like, first of all, there's more people on earth now than there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
So people still need a connection. People still need intimacy. People still have a desire to want to know and understand other people. But I think it's lost sometimes because there's so much happening. There's so many distractions
too.
Yeah, and everything's way faster. You know what I'm saying? Like we move faster, we send things faster, everything's going. So like, I feel like sometimes our signals get lost and people aren't able to really understand how to build with a single person because there's so much other distractions
around
your way.
Hashtag microwave society.
Yeah,
I'm plugging this up.
Y'all
kind of being really aggressive against social media. We finally touched on the fact that, you know, people got people problems too without the computer. So
yeah, it's more than
true.
I think it's just on display, and I think that's what I appreciate about social media. Like, as much as I want to delete 500 of the friends I got on Facebook, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the reason why I don't is because, like, on Twitter, I'm very specific about who I follow and don't follow.
Yeah.
Like, my timeline needs to be a certain level of quality. You
yes.
know, on my 100%. Facebook, is, like, all of my family. You know what I mean? Almost all. That's how I connect to most of my family. I got family in Puerto Rico, New York, everywhere. So, well, not really everywhere. Just those two places. So, there's that, right? But then there's also the possibility, like, I know who my father is. I know his name, his first and last name. I know what he looks like. I've seen him one time in my life. So, I could easily find probably my sister on, you know what I mean? And it's like, the social media puts things on display that weren't on display before. So it shows you a level of truth, a level of reality, even if it's a facade.
Mm-hmm.
There's truth in the fact that all these people are putting on a facade who are supposedly so
real.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And I follow activists who are real as shit, and I love and I'm happy that I could connect and see this part of them. Because it's inspiring, you know, it helps. Sometimes people are going through some shit and they'll just post a status about how they overcame some shit, and you don't need to talk to them, you don't need to like it, just seeing it, having access to that is dope. You know what I'm saying? And Twitter, I feel like Twitter is so ill. I feel like Facebook is that place where you're like more careful, but you can see everything. You can see everybody's life and shit. Twitter is just words, and you can post pictures and videos and stuff, but it's like stream of consciousness just happening live all the time.
And it's a conversation. It's a constant conversation happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you could jump in, you could add what you want, and I agree with you about that. I feel the same way about Facebook too. Facebook is like so much family.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's why I keep it light. You know what I'm saying? I go in there, I make a simple post about something, you know what I mean? And I jump off. I don't I don't want to engage people because, like, honestly, I could have an issue with everything that you stand for.
Yeah.
But we just kind of keep it family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
Well, I know at least for me, and you're a Sag too, so I can imagine you could relate. I know for me, like, and you're a fire sign too, so like, we're very passionate people. So you could talk on a topic that to you is just you like strutting your intellectual self, but to me that shit means a lot. You know what I'm saying? So if you my cousin are you somebody that I really look up to, and then you start saying a certain thing about a certain topic, and this is what you really mean, like, I don't know if I can eat with you after this. You know what I'm saying?
Right, you can't break bread
But you know, it's like, it's important because, and you know, just bringing this back to relationships, but like, seeing social media allows you to see things in people, whether they're aware of how much they're exposing themselves or not. Like, it allows you to expose yourself more, you know what I mean? And in that way, there's still connection. There's value. There's definitely value in being connected on social media. Mm-hmm. But I think, and like you asked, what are some values that have changed generationally? I don't know if our parents and our parents' parents and our parents' parents' parents cared so much about internal balance as we do now, because everything was need. We were oppressed. Like, I know my ancestors were oppressed, and had slavery and all this fucked up shit not happened, maybe we would have evolved to this point sooner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But we were stunted as people of color in general. We were definitely stunted when our families are pulled apart. You know what I mean? Like, that's crazy. That's insane. That's insane. And if you don't think that's going to affect the way we view ourselves and view our lovers intimately generations later, you're out of your mind. If you don't think that doesn't affect, like, you asking generationally. Mm-hmm. If you don't think that affects us generationally, that's not, and not that you don't, I'm saying in general, that's crazy. You have to know that that's going to affect us, like, you know, how we choose people, even on a natural, in a natural way. Women, and the only reason I keep correcting you when you say females, because females, it's like you're talking about an animal, like an animal with a certain body part. Yes, but we're not just animals. You're talking to women. In this case right now, we're not talking about a group of dogs that are interacting and we're observing like scientists. So the females do this and the males do that. We're not talking like that. You know what I mean? And that's the only reason I have to keep saying like women. You're talking about women because it's more than just females. It's not, we're not just moving based off our vaginas, you know, like. And now there's like less of a need because women are becoming more and more independent, and women, there's a need for us to be more and more independent, you know, because they're, because of so much of the shit that people are doing to us and our families. It's like there's a need now for women to do things on their own. So yeah, how is that going to affect the opposite sex? How is that going to affect the family dynamic when the woman is the head, not the man? Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, the woman's been the head of a black family, man. Think about it. Yeah, like, man, I was raised by a woman.
My whole family.
You know, so, like, it's been that way
for
a while now.
Yeah, that ties into, you know, possibly a future episode when we're talking about the missing father aspect.
It also ties back into the past episodes. As Sid and Kate Boogie and Tony just were reflecting on, it has a lot to do with culture and how you carry yourself and then how you deal with someone else. Mm-hmm. And I personally I'm of mixed ethnicity and dealing with different ethnicities. Yo, if you don't see where I'm coming from, there's a chip on my shoulder. Like nigga, do you know? Like y'all in the house or y'all over there? Like nigga, who's outside?
We're handling it.
Working. Mm-hmm. So like you can't even tell me shit in that regard. I'll listen to a lot of stuff, but I'm not letting go of what I know I'm old for nobody.
I'll ask this last question before we jump into the interlude, because we might need to spark something up. Real quick, around the room, what do you think, what's your perception of your counterpart when it comes to what they think is important? So what do you think is, if you're trying to read the mind of the of your opposite counterpart, what do you think they believe is important?
In you.
Okay.
We could go around the room, starting with Tony.
Go ahead, facilitator. Control that conversation, boy.
I feel like, you know, I feel like as women, we see things differently. And men see things differently. So I think maybe it's important that we kind of like agree on a certain stance and try to understand each other at a certain level. And then from that point, we can either work it out by having that communication or not work it out.
So communication.
I think communication is key, because I feel like sometimes men, the way women see themselves, we express ourselves like super open, whereas men, they tend to like not express themselves that way.
Look at this thing.
Don't express themselves that way. It's hard for you know, us females to like, us women to like understand exactly what you're saying. So if we can just have that level of communication and just talk, like if you're quiet, just be like, okay, I'm quiet because of this. It's in order for me to process what I have to think about. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the men don't really communicate that. So as like, not a lot of women. Not a lot of women know that. And like, I just started to realize that, you know, sometimes men, they're quiet because that's how they process things. Whereas women, they're loud because that's how they process things.
Yes, well said.
So sometimes we just have to have that communication. And don't always be so like, well, I'm quiet because I want to be quiet. Like, just be like, yo, I'm quiet because I'm trying to think about what you're saying. Right. And I'm just trying to get it in my mind, and I'm trying to process it. It might take me a little longer to do it, but that's okay. So maybe that's what I would like to tell the other counter person.
You actually think I'm more the woman in that situation, because I think real fast, and it's going to come at you loud, and I, like, expect a response. Like, I expect you to be like right on the same page with me, and I have to kind of take a step back at times and just be like, well, wait a second, my mind was just moving a mile a minute. I don't even know if what came out was coherent. Like, I was just a bunch of shit was shooting out at you. I just expected you to be like, so what do you think? And you're like, what the fuck? So that's something, like, because relationships are relationships. My mother's from Barbados, and she could always win to this day. If she's mad at me, she just won't speak to me. Like, I
hate that. Mama. That's Haitian culture as well.
I would speak to her, and she would, like, she's like a fucking, no one I can do that. Like, yeah. I can't, like, get mad or, like,
yeah. 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 Just let that die.
You gotta eat it.
Yeah.
No, you can't eat it.
It is miserable.
I got it, but the thing is, when I'm in relationships, people learn that about me, so now it's like, gotcha. Like, I'm just not, and that infuriates me. You'd have to see the walls. Like, it's a little mad. Like, I broke my hand a couple of years ago. I get furious.
Yeah,
because
it's just like, talk to me.
Right, but, you know.
It's like Caribbean parents in general do that. It's freaking annoying.
No, yeah, and it's a part of culture. The culture has a lot to do with relationships. As Sid touched upon, like, I need communication. I need verbal and sexual communication, I'm not gonna front like that.
Say, like, the touch.
I don't know, but when
it comes to sexual, that's all about touching.
Right, but that's why I don't like the touch, because, like, touching to me is like, it's supposed to be like fighting or
fucking.
Deep.
Yeah.
Fighting or fucking.
Right.
What?
If we're not fighting, fucking, we're not fucking. No, but listen, there's different ways.
First of all, we are animals. That's the first thing I said.
No, I'm not saying everything has to be all rough. Like, there's sensual times, and then there are, you know, rough times. But it's not like that. That's the way I communicate with my body.
I can definitely do that. I think the question kind of got, you know,
interluded.
We got telephone, and it kind of, you know, went its own way, which is good. That's how conversation should go. But as far as the question, it was, what do you think your counterpart finds important about you? Maybe that's the way I should have posed it.
What I would hope, I mean, I don't like speaking for anyone.
No, that's
you
know? I like how you.
No, yeah,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
Say it, say it.
So, like, speaking, I mean, I would hope my counterpart can find security in me, can confide in me, you know, can feel like they can communicate with me. I try. I'm not great at communicating, but I try my best to be open and to allow people to be open with me. So, you know, what I think is important is in a relationship to be comfortable with somebody, to let them know, you know, when how they feel, like genuinely how you feel at that moment. Not like, oh, well, I got to take a minute to, you know, come back and make it PC for you or you know, put it in a way that's going to make you comfortable. Not give it, make me uncomfortable. That's fine. That's, like you said, vulnerability. It's important, you know?
But don't be disrespectful about it.
I mean, but it's fine because it's between us. Like, it's no lost respect. We have to understand each other. I have to understand you as a raw individual, and you have to understand me. So there's going to be times where you feel like, yo, fuck you, and tell me why, and then tell me why you feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want that. Like, you know, that grittiness that has to be, that makes it real to me. I need to know how people really feel.
That's what's up. What's yourself, Sid?
For me, and I just need to like reiterate the question so that I stay on topic. What do I think my counterpart basically wants from me? You.
Yeah.
I think before I went into like the work of knowing myself, I think I thought what it was like a confident having like a confident personality, knowing something in depth, didn't need to be anything specific, but like being really smart in one way or another, like really knowing something well, being confident and like not taking no shit. That's what that was my perception of what my counterpart, or at least the person I was attracted to, the kind of person I was attracted to, that's what I was projecting in order to like, you know, get them to like fuck with me and to stick with me and to choose me, essentially. And I think some of those things are still true, but like now after like maturing in this area of my life, I think that my counterpart would wants reliability. Like that, I feel like is my biggest challenge in my life. Is like I want to be seen as a reliable person. That when I say I'm gonna do this, that the person doesn't even question whether I'm gonna do it or not. Mm-hmm. And I think, and that ties in a lot. That's trust. You have to confide in me to tell me what you need me to do for you. Because for a lot of people, especially women of color, they don't ask for help. Especially men of color too.
Pride is real.
And that's people of color, like being oppressed, you know, and the source of like, you know, basically white people taking over the source of all the things that we needed. So that's what they still do, you know. As long as people of color have some other source, some other resource other than white folks will find a way to tap into that resource and control it so that all these powerful people have to come and ask them for shit. You know what I mean? And I think that for me, I feel like now I feel like what I think my counterpart, which would have to be a very strong, self-knowing woman of color, I think that reliability in a time where, you know, higher ups are constantly changing the locks on us and constantly changing the goal and creating illusions constantly. I think what I want to be, what I think they want me to be and what I want to be is a reliable, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually solid person. A person with conviction. A person who can't be changed based off of just what's happening around me. I need to be grounded as fuck. My roots need to be all the way in so that no matter what happens to me, I'm stuck.
Bet.
Nothing is moving me until I lift my foot up. I think that is reliability. I think that's a person who, it's not like a person you can control. It's not like, oh, you need to hurry up and pay these bills, or you need to hurry up and get me a bigger house, or you need this, or you need that. I don't think it's that, but I think those kind of things come when you're that grounded. I think when you're really, really grounded, you can give the people who love you love and the people who need you whatever they need, you know? And that's the kind of thing I want
to
be.
It's so easier to focus on bigger goals once you're happy with, once you got this balance, mm-hmm. you're good and you got stable foundations. All right, so let's move on to
what else do you want to do? Right. Let's do it. You know, this. I want to be able to say that, like, what do you need? Let's do it. You know what? And if we don't got it right now, that you believe you're on the right team, that I'm a good person to pick. I'm your first pick.
Right.
And like if the world was going to shit and you needed one person to love you and raise the kids that we got or the kids that we don't got, the kids that we want to have. Like, y'all seen the movie Apocalypto?
The Mel Gibson
joint, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if everyone's seen it.
I have.
And people have a lot of, you know, shit to say about Mel Gibson. But that movie was great, yeah. Right? And one of the things that really struck me was the character, the male character. The mother, she has her own moments where she's, like, absolutely carrying her fucking burden. Yep. Like no one else, you know? But his thing was, like, it was intuitive. Like, when other people were kind of like, oh, what's this? Who are these people? He was kind of like, this shit don't feel right. Right. I gotta do something else. And against all odds, he survived. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of person I want to be for the woman I love. You know what I'm saying? I want to be the person that you're like, I don't know what she's doing over there. I don't know how many arrows are pointed at her, but she's gonna come back and get me like she said. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the kind of person I'm hoping
to be. I want to be that person too.
You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Snaps for Tony, two snaps for Sid.
You get good sex when you come home. And
right.
Do the right thing.
That's common the world.
Right.
Right.
I mean,
celibate. Word.
And that's what we'll...
Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, y'all. You know, I was thinking about this question because I feel like it actually connects to mostly everybody in this room. But I want to know y'all thoughts on interracial dating.
I love it.
What? She loves it.
Wow.
Love
it. All right.
No, I'm serious. Interracial dating is cool. You know, you get to, like, deal with different types of cultures, you know. So, for example, I may have dated an Asian guy, a white guy, a Spanish guy. Are they not real?
You said you
no, they're real. Well, when I say may have, it's like one of those talking periods when, like, you're talking, but, like, you don't know if it's actually, like, a relationship.
Okay.
That's what I mean. So you engaged with I don't know about engaged. That's a strong word for me.
Okay, fine. It all depends on how you...
That's a strong word for me.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. I feel like, you know, having, like, not being so stuck in your culture kind of, like, opens up your mind to other people, mm-hmm. and, like, how other people act, how all the cultures perceive dating and how they do different things. So I think it's cool to be in interracial dating.
So, good math, how do you feel?
About interracial dating?
That's the question, my man.
I mean, I can't be opposed to it. I mean, I'm a product of an interracial relationship. I'm definitely not opposed to it. I do bring in my blackness into any relationship, so just know that. So I'm not going to be opposed to talking to you because you look a certain way, but I'm definitely not going to not be myself and aware of who I am and how society looks at me. Mm-hmm. And if you try to pretend like that doesn't exist, then we won't deal together at all.
I think with, like, living in this, like, world, that's too broad. In this generation, where dealing with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, where... And all these, like, pro-black movements that are pushing for more people of color to date within their race because interracial dating is such a thing, you know? It's such a thing. And I think that we need to, like, kind of crack that open. So it's not like you're either opposed to it or not. I think there's, like, a lot of, like, rich conversation to have when you're talking about interracial dating because... And when we're talking about race, first of all, race is like a social construct, so it's not even real, right? It's just like this thing.
We're all one race.
These ways we define ourselves. So let's talk within that context. So let's assume that there are all these different races, right? And I think for me, the beauty of interracial dating is because sometimes you're raised in a certain culture and you just don't fit in. All your life you didn't fit in. All your life you didn't feel like everybody's asking you, oh, are you, oh, so you're Puerto Rican, or oh, so you're Latina, or you're Cape Verdean, or you're Black, like, you know, and you have to, and it's like, you almost want to say no, even though you're very proud to be who you are, but you don't want to be grouped, you know, you don't want to be lumped together. So I feel like people who don't feel like they fit in to their culture, and not, it doesn't necessarily need to be some self-hate shit. It just has to, like, I think sometimes the way a culture behaves and the way that a kid growing up just doesn't feel like being like that, just doesn't feel like doesn't fit into that cultural norm. So they grow up feeling different. And I feel like those are probably the most people, the people that are most susceptible to date outside of their race, because those sort of constructs, those sort of like boxes people put you in just have never fit you, you know? And so I think there's a, like you say, like, I think there's a lot of beauty of like being with someone from that eats a totally different kind of food, that values things totally different from the way your culture values things, whether it's a certain gender or a certain like way of being or a certain way of dressing or whatever. I think that's dope. And I think that's always, there's no way of stopping that. The world, like we say, is becoming so connected. People are starting to become so aware of other things that you're into what you're into. And there's nothing, you don't really dictate what you're into. You're just into it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you analyze it and you verbalize it a certain way, but you can't help who you like. And Stephanie's mother said this is like, Stephanie being my, yes, the love of my life, her mother, and she hasn't always approved of us being together, but I remember one of the first things I've heard her say was, you can't help who you love, and that's always been true for me, always, you know, and so then the flip side of that is like, sort of analyzing people who, for example, black men who only date white women, that's a different kind of interracial dating, that's you know what I mean, like
that's a different type of interracial,
it's different because
if you're only into a certain type of group and it happens to be the group that oppressed you and your ancestors, okay. Yeah, then you have to crack that open.
That to me, yo, because honestly you can only feel like you're attracted to white women if you're a black man, and I feel like if you feel that way, it's because either you feel dominance over white women, like you want to feel dominance over white women because
and I could understand that.
Yeah, because of how you felt oppressed by that
and you have a sense of power.
It's like a redemption, you know what I'm saying, that comes with that. And white women love us. That's another discussion we could have later. But
the question is why, but also
a self-hating part of it too.
Why women don't love y'all when you're down and out?
It's a guilty pleasure, yeah, and they don't bring us home either. It's a different story, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But
I think there's also a third part.
But it's a guilty pleasure.
There's
too.
There's probably eight parts to that.
Because black men also have the self-hating black man who is trying so hard to be something that he's not, that he feels more comfortable not dating his race, mm-hmm. So he'd rather date a white woman because he feels like that gives more validity to the person that he wants to be,
mm-hmm.
And that is the type of person who I have an issue with. I see those type of people, especially in this city, a lot of times these fucking yuppie motherfuckers that went to school
that turns back into you not accepting your dark side again. So that's why
not your
metaphorical dark side that Sid brought up earlier, dark side of the moon. So, and actually your physical dark side, the blackness too. So you're not accepting that and you're moving to this direction, mm-hmm. This direction.
And I think that's when the self-loathing comes in, and that's a different type of person who has the same type of direction, the same type of fetish. But it's like,
mm-hmm. What were you gonna say though, Tony?
Sorry to interrupt you.
Interracial dating is like,
no. how to get up.
There's a light and dark side to that too.
Mm-hmm. I went to college with this dude who didn't want to date black girls, and he was black because he felt that because he didn't like the way his sister and his mom acted, so because of that he didn't want to date his own race based on his past experience. Is that
mama issues?
Right. Family issues? And I was weird.
You got some shit to deal with.
It's just like your sister and your mom.
And I also think that's a cop out. You don't just say, oh, because my mom and my sister are like this, I won't date this whole race. No. You have some self-hate shit and you're blaming it on your mom and your sister, like most black men do. Bullshit. No offense.
Nah, that's weak.
Hey,
that's
no offense to me. Maybe my mother's best friend.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
So, I mean, with that being said, do you guys feel that there are different... I mean, I think that we live in a progressive world. It might be a slowly progressive world, a slower...
Progressive in what sense?
In a sense of the way that... what we're open with now with ourselves and what we accept, I guess, right? So, do you see the perception, or do you perceive interracial dating as something that's okay?
I think
we touched upon, and I know I'm interrupting you before you even finish your sentence, but we touched upon this in, what was that, preview episode, where we was talking about the black nigga and the white woman and Cheerios commercial. We was like, niggas never even seen that shit before, but like, if you watch commercials,
they know niggas can eat Cheerios.
Right, I know niggas can eat Cheerios. You know niggas allowed. Like, who cares about cholesterol? You know?
Right.
But like,
they didn't know who's allowed.
That shit is like, is definitely being pushed, and to me it's like, cause I think it's funny, cause the way I live my life, it's just, it's a little wild, but like the way I think, in order to move the way I do, they talk about and whatever fucking year, like everyone's gonna be so mixed, it's not gonna be like, that's why. So why are you pushing the agenda of having, why wouldn't an oppressive society push an agenda of having their women be with other men that don't look like them? Because not only are we mixed, everybody, like, alright, I'll explain it this way. Everybody genetic thinks Obama's war. White half Obama's white. Half white. And everybody mm-hmm. forgets that.
And he was raised by his white mother.
Right, so mm-hmm. think about, I mean...
But you can't escape your skin, man. You can't escape yeah. it. You live that. Right? Like, you step outside the house, nobody you knows spoke about what your household
those,
is.
You just spoke about all those people who live, you said specifically in Massachusetts, who carry themselves in this way, and there's yeah. a high population of
because
people.
Because they hate
think,
themselves.
Obviously, this thing is pretty fucking good if he, added, yeah. if he became the president of the United States, or if they chose him. Point being, like, you're blending races... Right. Yeah, he ran black in order to win.
No, he married a black woman.
Excuse me. And his daughter's yeah. a
beautiful
black woman.
And his wife is a Capricorn black woman. That is a strong black right. woman.
I just don't like bringing Obama into this kind of shit. Because you
know how he
is. You just have to say, if there's this agenda to push interracial couples, especially specifically white women being with black men, or black women being with white men, it is to... It would be to say that your race is also being blended just like ours. It's not like you're losing your race.
Yeah.
You're integrating your race back yeah. into the dominant.
Yeah.
It's like they did so long amongst themselves that they need some of that melanin back in their blood.
And they know scientifically that more melanin is more health.
Yep.
You live longer. You can survive longer with melanin. Like back in the day, they had white women would have babies and have their black slaves breastfeed right next, yeah. their white babies because there was more in that breast milk because of their melanin. And a lot of people talk about this, like organ harvesting and all that shit. Like black people and people of color, like there's the good shit. That's where the good shit's at. And it's not like white people don't know there's a genetic like war happening right now.
We decompose slower than them. They way faster.
They're trying to put melanin into their genetic fucking pool so that they don't just die out. They are pushing it now. Why? Why are they pushing it now? Because scientifically, they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? We're going to fucking die.
But do you think that they is also multicultural people who are pushing it as well? Do you think, or do you think that they is ultimately
the powers that be, right. and I'm not gonna pretend like there's not people other than just white folks that are the powers that be, but I think white supremacy is ruling the world right now.
I agree.
It's been ruling the world, and now it's getting turned on its head. White supremacy isn't working, so now they're like, fuck, what are we gonna do?
Fair. So do you think interracial relationships are more successful than how do you say it?
What do you mean successful? You had to define
as far
successful.
As
define success.
When we talked about this before, success being something that's long term, that's an actual.
We also talked about long term relationships. People sticking together.
Okay, so then
for the sake of bullshit,
take the word success as how you want to take it.
I'm not going to say interracial relationships are more successful. I would not say that.
I don't think it's 50-50 either. In my opinion, only reason I say it wouldn't be 50-50 is because it's a completely different type of relationship, because now not only do we have to deal with our, personal type of issues that we both had to share, now we have cultural differences that we have to find correlate to each other.
And
you know
political,
what I'm saying? It's a lot that goes with it. And you know, you got to deal with the family aspect. Like, of course, when you're dating outside of your race, now you have a whole heap of other things that you have to
right.
discuss or understand about people.
Just because the person you're
just
with can understand
with
you doesn't
different.
Mean their entire family.
Understanding oneself and understanding another person when you're in a relationship is being able to listen to someone and hear them out, even if you don't give a fuck about what they're talking about, right? So like, I seen this nigga, he actually came and spoke at ULO. I got the picture with Bach, and he looked like Carl was from the Urkel show. He looked like the father, and he had like a KKK hood, and he like would go to the KKK and speak to him. And like, well, we fucking hate niggas. He was like, all right, but why? And he would just have continuous conversations with them. Have your fucking opinion. Now, would I go and breed with your daughter? No, I wouldn't. If that was, you know what I'm saying, if that was the case. But differences, I don't really, individually, we were talking about individualism earlier. Knowing thyself, therefore you can respect someone else and try to build with them, right? Why the fuck should any other aspect of you, that all these other fictitious things we make up, take away from the fact that how I feel about you? It should never. Mm-hmm. So like, and I give a fuck about somebody's family. No offense.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, right? Honestly, for me, I mean, not that I don't give a fuck, but I fuck with that. Like, on at the end of the day, ultimately, the opinion of your family is not going to change how I decide to move with you.
Right.
Mm. Like, it could change how that person thinks or how that person.
Yeah.
If they actually care about you, it has to be addressed. It proves more how much they want to be with you if they're going against what is normal to them. Because in American society, and we talked about this in the last episode when it came to culture, we've developed the subculture. At least me, I personally, as a half black, half Puerto Rican dude, I don't have much culture. I can't speak Spanish. I can't fucking cook certain foods. Like, I can go eat it. I can go buy it. I can be around people when I try to soak that up. And I've developed my own culture. But, like, we've developed subcultures because we stray away from almost a culture that we can't really identify with, or we don't know much about because it's been taken away from us historically. So we identify with these subcultures, and usually the people you bond with, regardless of what they look like, identify the same way. Mm-hmm. So I could be in a physical relationship with someone that might be able to at least understand where I'm coming from. Yeah. And it shouldn't matter who the fuck's behind them. Yo, I don't give a fuck, my nigga. If there was an issue, you'd bring 1,000 niggas with you. If I really feel a certain way about it, you're not gonna win.
Yeah.
You're just not.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And that's conviction. That's what I'm talking about. Right. That's like, you could literally be standing against 1,000 people and still be like, yeah, but something in me is keeping me right here. So I'm not moving. But, you know?
No, that's real. Real quick though, do you feel that white men treat white women the same way that they treat black women? Do you think
absolutely not? They can't. They cannot.
Okay, all right. Can y'all?
I knew this question. I think that they try. I think that they try, but I think it's absolutely impossible.
But I'm gonna throw this in a full circle too. Do you think black men treat black women the same way that they treat white women?
Absolutely not. That's the bone to pick. That's the bone to pick that women of color have against black men who constantly choose white women. Like, that's the bone to pick. It's that it's easier. And you could say whatever you want. And I don't think it's, as a man, it might not be easier because white people have different standards of, like, wealth. And that might be something you have to work against. But the reason that you choose a white woman over a black woman or a woman of color or the kind of woman that raised you, you know what I mean? It has less to do with, like, white and black, and it has more to do with your mother. You know, there's a reason why you chose someone on the polar opposite of your mother. There's a reason for that.
Well, okay. You might have something there, but as far as...
I got something there.
You got something, but it's not connecting to me. So that's why I'm saying it that way. The reason why I'm saying that is I grew up in a white town, and I went out with a lot of white women, and that's not because I had some type of disconnect with my mother. It's because of the people around me. That's just what it was.
So you don't think as a child... But like, you're a grown man now. Yeah. You're self-analyzing and all this stuff. As a child, you don't do that. You don't think as a child, growing up around a bunch of white boys with their white mothers and these little white girls, you don't think that had an effect on how you viewed your mother?
No.
I think, I don't know, to this day,
I still have respect for my
mother.
I didn't see my mother as anything...
Less than?
No, never that. Because I have a single...
And you're a Cancer, so I know your mother is your mother is the most strong important person
my
in
My mother's
life.
A Leo. My mother was born in...
My mother's a Leo.
Strong woman. Mm-hmm. So the strength of my mother, just a single mother.
What does your mother think of the white women you date?
My mother... Mm. What does my mother think about women that I bring...
What does she think about... I want to know what she thinks about the white women you've dated, though.
She doesn't... She's indifferent. As long as she knows, at this point in my life...
You don't wonder why, though?
But here's the thing. My mother knows that I'm not going to bring just anybody to her. She knows that if I'm bringing someone to her, then this person really matters to me. Because I would never bring people in and out of my house. That's just not part of my culture. So if I brought in a white woman, if I brought in a Spanish woman, if I brought in whatever the case may be, she knows based off of who I am, as, you know, I'm a conscious person, the person that I'm probably bringing to her is someone I really could connect with. That's all she cares about.
Where is she gonna bring a black girl home from?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
No.
From where?
No,
like,
yeah.
Like she, I think she does that. It's a mental
conscious
thing
decision.
By her to say, like, you know what? I want him exposed to something different.
Mm-hmm.
Then
her different might be just educational.
That's exactly what it was.
But the relationship is part of education. Everything.
Yeah.
Is education.
But are you trying to tell me there wasn't a single black educated woman in that white school?
I never went out.
This is all me just. Throwing out.
So then people feel forced.
She moved him to that town and saying like, oh, he's gonna breed white women.
No. It's all educational, like
educational,
someone just,
because he's Caribbean, so I don't think his mom is even thinking about that aspect. It's all about the educational aspect.
If you think as a mother, your son constantly brings home women that are nothing like you, look nothing like you, if she's indifferent, it's her choice to be indifferent. Because she doesn't want to come between you and her relationship. And that's my theory on it. But to think that she don't have nothing to say about it, I absolutely don't believe that. Because if your first relationship and this is like a scientific thing, fact. Your first relationship in your life is with your parents. And so even psychologically, therapists talk about this over and over. All your relationships after have to deal with the relationship you have with both your parents, the male and the female version in your life, or even energetically. It doesn't need to be, like, you can have two women parents, two male parents. They're going to have sort of opposite traits one way or another. And you're going to sort of categorize them one way or another because we're socialized to see things in duality, two things, opposing things, right? If you think that the woman who raised you never sees anything of herself in the women you bring home, and this is a pattern, even if you don't bring a lot of women home, if she can never see herself in the women you bring home, if you think that isn't some deep-rooted self-hate and shit, I think that you're not accepting something of your childhood.
But you're saying when you... If I bring women home that don't have a trait or a character trait that my mother has, just because it's not color doesn't mean it's not there.
No, you're right. Really? You're right. But I think if it's never color, if the woman's never brown.
But that, I didn't say that.
No, I know you're not saying that. And I'm, like I said, I'm not talking
maybe
to
I should
you
stop
specifically.
Looking as a target.
Yeah. But I think it's ill that you do that because it's this is a very personal thing, at least for me. You know, and I'm a queer woman, so people can analyze that all the ways that they want. But I absolutely have daddy issues. I can tell you that right now. And not to minimize it in that way, but I would say I have issues with my masculine counterparts. And I think growing up, I competed with men all my life. All my friends, my best friends were men or boys. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I walk into a room, I don't have those catty women issues that other women have, I feel like. I don't deal with those things because I'm not competing with the women in the room. I'm competing with the men in the room, and only because we're living in a, like, male-dominated society. So whoever is the most powerful in the room, that's who I'm competing with. And most, 9 times out of 10, it's the men. Yeah. At least, and on a superficial level, it's the men in the room that are like... Mm. I'm strutting around. Even if they have the most powerful woman standing right behind them in the corner, she's not putting herself out there because she's in a male-dominated room. And so when I walk in a room, those are the people I'm sparring with, you know?
But even if the room's not male-dominated, right, women have their own, like, their own energy that they're on. Like you said, it's always a cattiness that tends to be when you have a room that's dominated by women. Like, they look around and they analyze...
Because we're socialized to compete with each other.
And same with men. So it's the same type of thing. It's a societal thing. So that happens both ways, you know what I'm saying, between men and between women. But you're right. Like, when you walk into a room, but that shows the level that you're on, because you've seen both. And you're like, no, I'm not dealing with this.
Tie this back into the perception of who you bring home to your mother and the connection you have with your mother or your father, mm-hmm. or how it may be.
Mm-hmm.
because that's what we begin to speak about. And at the end of the day, you know, my mother is the most powerful fucking Super Saiyan Ali Jordan there is in the world, and it's ridiculous, and it's just like I'm. And people look at me like, you be lying. Like, people look at me like, I got strength around her. I be looking like this, like, that small.
Honestly, when your mother walks in the room, I feel like I shrink a little bit. I literally have to work to, like, not shrink when his mother walks in the room. Because of that's how much power, like, when she walks in, I can just feel it, you know? And I feel like I haven't been through enough shit. Like, I haven't been through enough.
So, on a personal level, like, I think my mother's beautiful because my father's definitely ugly, and I think my I don't necessarily want to be with someone like my mother. No, what?
Are you afraid of the competition or something?
There is no competition.
So,
she wins.
So why wouldn't you want to be with someone like your mother?
I like competition.
But why wouldn't you want to be with someone like your mother?
Who's that? Because I have a mother.
Right.
Well said.
I love competition. Yo, you won, you won. I'll be heated about it, and I get over shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I'll talk to you about it, how you won. And the next thing in my head is, well, how can I win? And it's like, that sounds like it just be a, like a negative connotation, but when you actually can build with someone, it's kind of fun, and if the person's competitive also, then it, like
you rise to the occasion.
You keep, everyone keeps climbing. It's like, nah, he ain't getting me this time. She ain't getting me this time. My mother is not even, yo, even if she lose, she won.
Yeah.
She won. She just won't talk to me. Yeah, you might. Nope, she just be quiet. Now I'm small again. Now I lost. Mm-hmm. And I love her. Love her. I honestly can't even fathom her passing away. I'd rather me before her. I love her.
Great.
But, like, could I live with her and sleep in the same bed every night? No.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I hear that. I hear that. Because even for me, like, and I also have mommy issues, you know? Like, my mother is she's a Capricorn. She's, like, doesn't show her emotions. We didn't grow up being super affectionate to each other. We don't necessarily hug and say, I love you. We know. This is a fact. I know my mother loves me. I love her. She knows this. But, like, I don't know. I think my mom has, like, a bit of, like, more, like, of a masculine. She has a more of, like, a fatherly presence in my life. But she's the only presence of a parent that I've had in my life. So, my mother, I know the kind of woman she is. And for a person who loves women, I can't necessarily be with the woman that's like my mother, but I love women of color. Like,
shout out to that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, that is my preference, and not like I'm better than anybody else, but I take pride in the fact that my preference looks like the woman who raised me. Because that was my first relationship. That's the first thing I saw as beautiful. I remember the first time my mother called herself overweight in my presence. Like, I remember that. And I remember thinking, like, I remember saying to her, like, Ma, you're not fat. You know? And then when I see pictures of her in her youth, and I could see, like, I see what she's talking about. But I remember it cracking my mind open to what fat is now. And I, like, it's like, to me, that I never viewed her that way, but she said it to me about herself in front of me, and that affected me, and it affected how I saw weight on a woman after that.
It's like, it's weird to see the most powerful person in the world express an insecurity, because you're like, I didn't even know that exists, like, amongst you.
Yeah, to me, you're nothing, and that is also why, like, I've had issues with, like, power and, like, physical power, at least physical strength. You know what I mean? Or, like, physical safety. You know what I mean? And I feel like with my mother, I know exactly what a strong self, like a self, like a person who depends on themselves. That's what I learned first. So I'm very attracted to women who do that because of when I compared my childhood to, like, some of my cousins and shit and their mothers who didn't necessarily have the same traits as my mother. I like, in comparison, I just really felt safer with my mother. So I, like, I'm very attracted to a woman who's self sort of, like, established or whatever. But at the same time, my mother did, like the silent treatment type stuff.
Right.
So, like, when that happens, I'm very, like,
what did I do wrong?
This doesn't, this feels like my mother. And I don't like this feeling of you mothering me right now. Like this. You know what I mean? So
true.
It's complicated.
I respect everyone's opinions here, and I think I learned a lot out of everybody here and things I can take with me past today. But at the end of the day, for me, love is more than surface level. It's deeper than that. So I don't care what color you are. I don't care what other people may think. If I find love in you, mm-hmm. and you find love in me, it doesn't fucking matter.
Nothing's stopping you.
Nothing. Yeah. So I'm gonna let Good Math wrap this one up.
It's turning into like O's like recruiting, like O's trying to find love in 2016.
Will you find it?
Who will know?
Will you find it? I think we usually piggyback off our last episodes and like unconsciously so culture was really brought into this before when we talked about culture appropriation last episode, and the fact that a lack of culture can lead to lack of self, lack of community, and lack of, you know, being able to appreciate where you come from, so therefore you almost can't appreciate someone else, or being able to appreciate who you are. And I think moving forward, when it comes to building positive relationships, whether they be intimate or just with your friends, I mean, you really just gotta be true to yourself. Don't be some fucking punk that's running around trying to be someone you're not. Just be true to yourself, be comfortable, and you're gonna benefit the people you love better that way, man. Okay. Shout out to all the mothers, shout out to all the black and Latina women, all the colored women.
All the Caribbean women.
All the Haitian
women.
Shout out to all the women, period, man.
Shout out to all the women, period.
All the women, man.
Niggas always trying to hijack my shit, right? Peace out, be blessed. K Boogie was right. Shout out to all y'all. We love all y'all. And until next month.
Peace.
We out.